Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Greta, it's our home away from home for Afterburner. We'll be there for live watch parties throughout the season. Should be your spot regardless, before, during, and after the game. Grab a cocktail, something from the menu, let the games begin, or maybe you get into the game yourself. Over 50 arcade games from vintage to state-of-the-art. Load up some credits on that Greta game card of yours and get at it. Greta Calgary, located at 213 10th Avenue Southwest. Check them out online, gretabar.com.
It's nearly the best time of the year. Playoff hockey is around the corner, and I'll tell you what, the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino is the place to be. Cheer on your favorite teams with us at the Stage Bar. Enjoy the big game, one of those huge screens over the bar with friends, drinks, and delicious food. Let's go visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. Now, while I've got your attention, let me tell you about the happy hour at the Grey Eagle Resort and Casino. Let's make the most of the day and spend your afternoons with great drinks and food. Join us at the Stage Bar and Blaze Bar and Grill for our new happy hour every day, 2 till 5. Enjoy food, drinks, all starting at $5. Make the most of your days. Visit greyeagleresortandcasino.ca for more information. If you're thinking of buying or selling your home in the Calgary area, there's one guy you've got to talk to. That's Derek Newman of the Derek Newman Real Estate Group with CIR Realty. Buying or selling doesn't really matter. Derek does it all. He's a volunteer in the community, active in sports around the city, whether it's golf, curling, huge Flames fan. So talking sports or talking about the real estate market, definitely give him a shout. He's approachable, trustworthy, and hardworking. Also, Derek's got a pretty vast network. He's even got access to some homes often that aren't even on the market yet. And you can ask him about his complimentary home staging consultation as well. Buying or selling, call him or text him right now at 403-619-6661. Derek will make it easy for you. Get Derek and his network to work for you. That's Derek Newman. Email him at dnewman@cirrealty.ca. More post-game reaction right here. We're back on Afterburner.
Well, that was fun.
Was it?
I mean, it was a kind of fun. Folks, welcome to Afterburner. I'm Ryan Pike. Along with me, Kent Wilson. We are a pair of gentlemen who I affectionately call the Dr. Bunsen Honeydew and Beaker of hockey media in this town. And then we had a fever debate over which one of us is Beaker. Our conclusion, both of us. But the Calgary Flames played game 74 of the National Hockey League scheduled this evening against the Winnipeg Jets, and they lost. And Kent, I would classify this as a capital I important loss for both teams. With the victory, the Winnipeg Jets officially get an X next to their names. They're going to these 2024 Stanley Cup playoffs. Meanwhile, the Calgary Flames get one of those disappointing little E's next to their name as they're officially mathematically eliminated from the playoffs. It was, as we would say, a game. Kent, what were your overall impressions of the 60-ish minutes of ice hockey we just watched?
Well, both teams definitely had something to play for, but in opposite directions. So the Flames are trying to get the best draft pick they can. Not saying that they're trying to lose, but losing isn't bad at this point. And yeah, Winnipeg's trying to, you know, position themselves in the postseason. So I thought it was mostly Winnipeg all night. There was about a 10-15 minute stretch in the second period where the Flames really pushed back. And it looked like they're going to make a game of it. And then, you know, a big penalty happened and then a big power play, and Winnipeg kind of took over after that.
Yeah. I mean, it was the kind of game that, you know, sometimes teams find ways to lose. And, you know, the Calgary Flames are one of those teams where, you know, we've made the running joke for the last little while that, you know, they're structurally, they're not bad. They've got decent shape and form, but it's the details that kill them. And, you know, we'll get into this as we proceed through to this program this evening. The details would kill them. They were decent enough at 5-on-5. They led the game early on. They had chances to, you know, hell, like there's, you know, they led twice, I believe. They had a lead twice. They weren't chasing the whole game, but, you know, it just kind of got away from them. And, you know, in a season where they're probably going to draft more likely than not in the top 10, I think, depending on other results this evening, maybe they're in the top 7 by now. Maybe, you know, it depends what Arizona does, but, you know, they were right there with the Jets, but they also were a group that said, okay, let's try not to make too many mistakes. And unfortunately did.
Yeah. That's, you know, that's going to be their life for the next little while. I've said on a couple of afterburners recently, like, the team is playing respectable hockey, at least. It's not like a grim death march, like the end of Gallitzin's time here, where the last quarter under Glenn Gallitzin was absolutely some of the most painful hockey I've ever seen. So, the Flames aren't winning right now, but they're in most of the games they're playing. That they're just not getting the results because, you know, to some degree, they have nothing to play for, but also they don't have enough skill.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, and it was a 5-2 final. And it makes it fairly easy for us to pick a Betway highlight of the night because there was only two Calgary Flames goals, and we will go with the first goal this evening, the 19th goal of the year and actually 50th career National Hockey League goal for young Mackenzie Weegar.
Sharing a goal with Calgary, trying to fish it out. Pionk has it kindled with his left skate. Now comes free, Flames have control. Here's Weegar, nice lock, shoots, scores! Power play delivers again, and Mackenzie Weegar picks up his 19th goal of the season and 199th point.
Now, I can't remember the last time a Calgary Flames defenseman is flirting with 20 goals. I think it was Mark Giordano.
Mark Giordano probably.
Or, I forget. Did Nikita Zadorov ever get 20? I forget.
I think Hamilton got like 17, years. Right? Yeah.
Something like that. But, yeah, you know, yeah. Like Mackenzie Weegar, I mean, I'll say on the others program, you know, I vividly recall some very prominent hand-wringing by a certain former National Hockey Leaguer, and he went to the final 3 times, and I went 0 times, so I'll defer to him on who to give extensions to. But, I mean, you give a big deal to both Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar, and one of those ones I think is going to be a bit of a white-knuckler, probably the full duration of it, but on the whole,
nice way to put it.
It's year one, and I would argue that Mackenzie Weegar is already underpaid. And I don't know if Mackenzie Weegar will be as underpaid as the other gentleman is potentially overpaid based on his contributions, but maybe that's hope at this point that you just have one guy that's giving you such
cancels out.
Value. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a lot of teams you're hoping for in the aggregate surplus value of your contracts, but if nothing else, for the guys who are on hefty long-term tentpole deals, maybe you're just hoping for some balance between those two things.
Well, that's going to be tough because I think you might have to make up almost $10 million and when you only make 6.5 or something, it might be tough to do that. But yeah, the Flames have to be relatively happy with the way Weegar's season has gone. And it makes you wonder, is he going to be here for the full contract? Is he a guy that they may want to try to flip down the road? Obviously not right away, but or maybe he stays and they become, you know, competitive again. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how many teams have, you know, Mackenzie Weegar, I've stood next to him. He is not a giant, but he is not small. He is, I would say, above average size, but he isn't, he isn't gigantic. But he moves well. He plays well in all three zones. He can, I think if he's running your power play, that means you probably are in the market for a quarterback, but you also probably aren't too disappointed with him. So, you know, I think so far he's exactly what they need him to be. And, you know, we'll see what they do with him. But, you know, I think he's one of those guys that, you know, I'll say this as a member of the media that regularly pepper him with post-game questions, because unfortunately it always seems like we always seem to get Coleman and Weaker after losses because they're just so damn eloquent. Well, we feel a little bit bad. I think there was one game where Coleman came in after a win and he made a quip to us like, oh, you got me after a win for once. But you know, Weaker's just, I love listening to Mackenzie Weaker because his passion really comes through every time he speaks. And, you know, he's just one of those guys that, you know, if you're trying to build a team, both in terms of the human beings you want in the room to guide your young guys and just the good hockey players that will drag some guys along some nights, he's exactly what you need. So I would venture to guess that as long as Mackenzie Weaker would like to be a Calgary Flame, the Calgary Flames would be tickled pink to have him. And, you know, hopefully
that wouldn't surprise me.
Hopefully those two things, those two factors correlate for the long term. But so that was our highlight of the night, brought to you by Betway. Get the Betway app on your phone. Bet the responsible way with Betway. I hope that's the current read because that's the one I have. Let's move along, Kent, to some other business we have to do. Let's talk about, you know, this is natural in a game where the Flames lose by 3 to a conference opponent, that there is going to be some things that we both didn't love about the hockey club. We could call this an airing of grievances. We could call them any number of things. We'll also call this Hungry for More, brought to you by our friends at DoorDash. Kent, from this 60 minutes, what were you hungry for? What did you either never want to see again or glimmers of hope that you want to see a bit more of?
Well, I paid some attention to Ochocinc. Is that how you pronounce his name? I think so, right?
I've said it out loud 4 times, and I've said it different ways and been told I have it wrong almost every time. So I'm the last syllable is chuk.
Chuk. Let's go with that. Yeah.
We'll both be wrong.
You know, I've been curious about him since they acquired him, but haven't really paid attention when he's been playing. So I was like, okay, let's watch 28 tonight. And yeah, not a great game from him. I can see maybe on a tools basis why someone would be interested scouting him, because yeah, he can skate, he's not small, but yeah, he got danced a couple of times. He cannot move the puck, his reads were bad, so it could just be a bad game from a new player. But holy cow, that was rough. And actually, number 10 tonight, Huberdeau, that's one of those nights where you see all bad things about Jonathan Huberdeau. He made the pass, I think, on the Weaker goal, which was nice on the power play, but just all over the ice, really weak on the puck most of the time, gave it away a whole bunch. So it's like, oh, yeah, it's not a great Huberdeau game either.
Yeah, I'm going to go in a similar but different direction, my friend. Let's talk about Martin Pospisil. I have a love-hate relationship with Martin Pospisil, and let me explain both sides of it. The love part of Martin Pospisil is the same reason I really loved watching Matthew Tkachuk when he was a Flame. And the same reason why, you know, I'm old school. I grew up watching Ronnie Stern. Ronnie Stern was just a prick to play against. He basically hit everything, and everyone hated him by the time the game was over. And that's the kind of energy Martin Pospisil brings. Because is he the most skilled player in the world? I would say he's not unskilled, but you know, he that's not his bread and butter. His bread and butter is absolutely making guys nuts. And we've seen instances this year where, you know, he's drawn a multitude of penalties by basically just being a pain in the ass. And he's also had, as of tonight, this is his third game misconduct of the year. Let's just run the clip here. And so he was ejected in the last minute of the second period for an elbowing major on Josh Morrissey of the Winnipeg Jets. Obviously, we're looking at the replay. He kind of leaves with his elbow. Part of it is just for the height difference. We'll call a spade a spade. His angle of approach is a little bit high, and so it's elbow to face. And letter of the law is it's an elbowing penalty, according to the rule book, is based on, quote, degree of violence, which is an amazing bit of verbiage to read in a rule book. But if there's a degree of violence and it's elbow to face, it's a major. And so the referees on the ice side, okay, it's the penalty. I cannot speak to whether or not the officials on the ice were already planning on calling it a major before some theatrics by Rick Bonus. The way that the broadcast was shot suggests a certain sequence of events. But if it's a possibility of calling a game misconduct under the rules, the referees have the ability just to, you know, crowd around and be like, okay, we all like, you say, if Kent, if you and I are both the refs and we're like, okay, that's a penalty in 76, right? Okay, cool. Oh crap, is that a major or a minor? What do you think?
Probably major.
You're allowed to use the benefit of video if you think there's a penalty to review to see if you want it to be a major or not. And the thing they're looking for on the video review, specifically for an elbowing one, is did the elbow hit the guy in the face? In this case, yeah, the elbow hit the guy in the face. So once you think it's a penalty, and once you're an official and you see elbow in the face, it's automatically a major. So the penalty is what the penalty is. But the thing I love about Martin Pospisil is if you include his last trip to Winnipeg in the preseason, he has been ejected from 4 games. He has already been suspended once. And the suspension he got against Seattle again for a pretty reckless hit on Vince Dunn was, I would argue, the okay, start getting smart here suspension. We saw the Department of Player Safety make an example out of Matthew Tkachuk when he was a rookie. I know, watched a lot of Matthew Tkachuk that the first year and a half of his career. And I imagine you had the similar experience that a lot of us had, sort of watching him play physical, sort of like this, going, oh, God, please don't do anything stupid. And Matthew Tkachuk, partially because he's just a smart player and partially because he had a pretty decent financial haircut because of all the suspensions he got, figured out where the line was. And as a result, most of the time when you watch Matthew Tkachuk play now, you go, oh, he's just doing smart stuff. Like he's kind of a pain in the ass. He's never not going to be a pain in the ass. He's Matthew Tkachuk. But he's figured out how to be the most effective version of Matthew Tkachuk. I would argue that A, Martin Pospisil has not figured it out yet, and B, Martin Pospisil has to figure it out very quickly, because I imagine he's the type of player that the Department of Player Safety has gotten calls from teams about complaining about what he can and cannot get away with. And we saw against Seattle that he ain't getting away with it as much anymore. And I would argue that I would be shocked. We were talking about this before we started the show. I would be shocked if he didn't get at least a fine, because especially he's been back for how many games since his last suspension?
He's getting a call for sure.
Yeah.
He's always played that kamikaze style, and it is a calling card. And it's one of the reasons he's had 6 concussions or something. So he's got to be smarter on both ends of it, because he might hurt someone, but he also might hurt himself at some point, like irreparably.
If you throw those kind of hits and you screw up your angle of approach and you get a straight elbow to the head, like, you know, when he was younger, he used to scrap after these kind of hits, because clean hit or not, in pro hockey nowadays, if you throw a big hit, you got to answer the bell. That's just how the norms of the sport are these days, even knowing what we know about brain injuries. And Martin Pospisil is a guy that almost had his career ended by brain injuries. And so a lot of the chatter from opposition fans and probably opposition players is, oh yeah, we know you can't fight, so what are you doing playing like that? Which he's playing like that because that's how he has to play, I think, to stay in the league. But he's got to figure out what the line is, because a 5-minute, of the Flames, when they, if you're playing in Winnipeg, a city with no airport, if you're playing in Winnipeg and you head into the third period with your playoff lives on the line, down by a goal, but you're at full strength and you feel like, okay, we got to win 20 minutes, we can do this, you probably feel okay about it. If you go in without Martin Pospisil, objectively one of your more effective forwards when he's gone to the penalty box, and Matt Coronato, who's been playing very well, is sitting in the penalty box for the first 4 minutes serving a minor, then you're shorthanded and your lines are screwed up. And also you have to, hope against hope that your rookie goalie can stop the Winnipeg Jets for 4 minutes of a power play and then try to regroup. And shockingly, they lost. I wouldn't say that the Pospisil major was the only reason they lost, but that's a bad penalty to take at that point of the game, because you basically, you know, let the air out of your own tires.
Yeah, and the thing with Pospisil now is he's not just a crash and bang player. It's definitely his signature and one of the reasons he was picked and has been a good pro, but he brings other things to the table now. I thought, you know, his line with Kadri and Kuzmenko was probably the Flames' best line at even strength through those first couple of periods. And he has really good underlying numbers. He could almost be, you know, the next player that could be on a backline line to help shut down other teams best if he continues this sort of development. So yeah, I don't think he has to run around and hurt people to stay in the NHL anymore. He just has to keep doubling down on those other things that make him a good player. I'm not saying go out there and avoid contact or anything, but yeah, find that line, tone it down a little bit, because you're either going to hurt yourself or you're going to catch 5 suspensions a year.
Yeah. Like I said, like he's not a guy who's completely bereft of talent. You don't make it to this level without being talented. He's a guy that, you know, I fully expect to be playing for Slovakia at the World Championships next month. He's good. Like people don't remember this, but before COVID wiped out those the NHL's participation in the Olympics, he was more likely than not going to be loaned by the Flames organization to the Slovak national team because he helped them make the Olympics. Like he was part of the team that won a qualifying tournament. So he's quite good. And I would argue if he could just pick his spots a little bit better, you know, because the last thing you want is a very promising career shortened due to either stupidity, malice, or combinations therein, or just bad luck. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, he had probably the worst injury luck I can imagine. Like he blew out his shoulder. I think he had a knee. He's had a bunch of injuries, not the least being his multiple brain injuries. And you're just hoping that A, he's able to have a good career, and B, no more brain injuries, because knowing what we know about the human brain now, we would like to have as many of these great NHL players to have lengthy, very fruitful post-playing careers. And the easiest way to do that is to protect your brain.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of the Michael Ferlin story where he came up, and I think Ferlin was a 5th-round pick or something as well, comes up known for being big and hitting, but you know, rounds out his game with other facets, but then has his career cut short by concussions. So I guess we'll see if Pospisil can learn.
Ferland is a very good comparison. Seems exact. When he got the first game that Pospisil got called up for, the first guy I thought it was Michael Ferland, and how much of a shame it was he wasn't playing anymore. So I guess that'll do it for us for Hungry for More, brought to you by DoorDash. With restaurants, grocery, pharmacies, bakeries, flower shops, and more, DoorDash really has everything you need. Ordering is easy. Just open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want, and your items will be left safely outside your door with our default contactless delivery setting. And for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code NATION25. And then magically Nation 25 shows up. Nation 25.
Put it in the chat.
I'm not in the chat. There we go.
There it is.
Nation 25. Again, that is for is 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more when you download the app. So that's DoorDash. Dash it. Dash that for the win. We're going to head to a quick break, and then we come back. We look at for the road ahead from our friends at Village Honda, and then we'll take your questions. You got Kent and Pike, the Buns and Honeydew and Beaker, or alternately Beaker and Beaker of the Flames media world with you for the next little while.
We are well into the winter months now, and you can feel it, can't you? That urge to get away. Maybe some beach time to warm up those bones of yours. Maybe a hockey sports kind of road trip. Well, when you pack your bags, make sure you don't forget Alberta Blue Cross. There's only one thing better than sharing memories, and that's making new ones. Alberta Blue Cross travel insurance protects your memories and more wherever travel takes you. Visit ab.bluecross.ca/travel for more information. Alberta Blue Cross, celebrating life's memorable moments inspired by hockey.
Hey guys, it's Pinder.
chatting about Charm Diamond Centers. Did you know that Charm's been Canadian-owned and operated since 1972? And there's over 85 locations coast to coast to coast with Charm and their sister brands. Get this now. You want to get something custom made? How about custom ring building delivered in less than 4 weeks? That's unreal. That is the Charm Masterpiece Program, and they've got unbeatable pricing policies as well. Whether it's mine diamonds or Canadian lab-grown diamonds, check them out. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com. That's charmdiamondcenters.com.
All right, gang, listen up. It's time to learn the pro pose. Coach?
Bend and snap.
Beautiful form. Nice arm extension. Facial expression, I could use some work. All right, let's see it. The pro pose. What's that guy doing?
I think that's the bend and snap.
That's a whole different deal.
Charm, home of the pro pose.
Oh! The only thing sweeter than the taste of victory is starting your day with the new Cinnabon Pull Apart from Wendy's. But there's no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and Daily Faceoff Fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all season long. And hey, even if you make a few wrong picks, at least you know you're heading to Wendy's right now for a $5 Cinnabon pull apart and a small coffee. It's a great choice. Sign up for the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Let's get back to the hockey talk. Afterburner returns.
All right, we're back. Welcome back to Afterburner. I'm Ryan. He's Kent. He ran Flames Nation, then I ran Flames Nation, then Ari ran Flames Nation, then I ran Flames Nation again. So we basically have, I think, 80% of the managing editors of Flames Nation history here on this very program. And, of course, Kent bringing the flow. That's the important thing. He's got the hockey hair going on. If the game results aren't the way you like it, at least Kent looks good while he's breaking them down. And I look this
thing with a hat.
So that was a weird game, man. And let's get into I saw someone throw this in the chat, and I thought, Jack, can you bring up one of the many people asking about Connor Zary? Because I have information about Connor Zary, and we might
as well start with that.
So Mitchell, amongst other people, asked, why was Zary benched? Is he dealing with nagging injuries? Anything other than that is unacceptable. Hi, Jack. Nice Pens win tonight. Yeah, that's good. Pens win. Pens wins are always fun. I like the Pens. They look good.
Yeah.
And someone in the comments says, Kent is a cutie. So there you go, Kent. There's your affirmation today. So
good
Connor Zary was a healthy scratch. Wes Gilbertson reported on social media today. I was also told the same thing, so I'm comfortable saying that as well. Connor Zary, he's been back from injury for a few games. He missed 8 games with, I forget what injury. It's this time of year where they don't tell you what it is, and we'll have to guess. But I would argue that Connor Zary has not looked like his usual Connor Zary self the last few games. I would also argue, Kent, and you can feel free to disagree or affirm my assumptions here. I don't think the whole team has looked the way that they should look the last few games too. So I don't know if it's explicitly a Zary thing. We saw early in the year, Matt Coronato was playing fine, but Matt Coronato was sort of the victim of the coach needed to get the rest of the lineup going. So Coronato basically filtered his way down the lineup to the point where he was on the fourth line, and bless his heart, I don't think you want Coronato on your fourth line. I would make the same argument for Connor Zary. If you don't think Connor Zary is one of your top 6 wingers, he should probably not be playing in your top, on your fourth line, because that's just not his skill set. It's the skill set of other guys. I would say Dryden Hunt is your fourth line guy. I'd probably put Connor Zary in the top 9 over Dryden Hunt. But if the idea is that you want to give Connor Zary sort of a game just to reset, which I'm assuming that's kind of what this is based on the comments that we heard last couple of days from Flames head coach Ryan Huska. Okay. I don't love sitting kids, but Huska's done this to all of the kids at least a few times. Possible sat once. Coronado has sat twice as a real scratch and twice because he was up on emergency recall and he could only go in if a certain other player was sick. And then Pelche sat a couple times before they decided he sat enough, let's send him to the Wranglers. So if you're sitting kids, I hope it's part of a plan. And knowing this coach, I'm assuming that there's some sort of a plan unfolding, but it's also eight games left. And so if you are just completely out of the playoffs as they are now mathematically, I would suggest, hey, maybe a steady diet of kids below, you know, players below the age of 23. If you're too young to get a good rate on a rental car, you should be playing a hell of a lot for the next 2 weeks, because why not? There's really no downside at this point. If anything, you know, you'll look at your draft lottery results on May 7th and go, hot damn, thank goodness we fed them a steady diet of, I don't know, I can't think of any other kids we haven't seen already. I don't know if they're going to call anyone up either.
I don't think they will, but you know, I assume at this point it's a teaching moment for the player. It could be the coach told him, took him aside and said, I'd like to see more of this for a couple of games. And he wasn't seeing it. So he said, you know, you need to sit down because I'm not getting through to you. That's the only reason I would scratch a young player at this point. But
you and I are both old, so we remember the olden days. I remember the yesteryear of Johnny Gaudreau's rookie season, where he looked fine for the first five games, but he didn't look like college Johnny Gaudreau. And they just sat him. I think they sat him for a second last game of a road trip against Columbus and just said, just watch, tell us where the spaces are, because Gaudreau is trying to play through guys, trying to find, you know, passing lanes. And then shockingly, once he sat upstairs for a game and went, oh, that's where all the space is for passes, he was really, really good and basically a point per game player since then. So, you know, a lot of guys have to sit for a game, but I hope it's only for a game, because A, Zari's been very good, and B,
yeah, he's mostly been really good this year. So,
and he's been up, you know, he's not eligible to go down for any Wranglers time. So, you know, you want to keep him rolling. But yeah, I saw that mentioned by a few folks in the chat. So I thought, all right, Kent and I need to wax poetic about the merits of the youth today and how much they need to play to learn stuff.
I hope he's back in the next game, right?
Oh, he's just a fun player to watch. I like watching Connor Zary play. Let's go to the road ahead for our dear friend at Village Honda. Kent, guess who the Calgary Flames are playing next game?
Next game. Who is next game?
It's your favorite team in the world. The best fans in the NHL. They brought they stole a shovel 1 year and then brought it back the next year.
Best fans in the NHL. Well, my favorite team is Vancouver Canucks. So
that's, well, I mean, how can it not be? But these people, our dear friends up north, Kent and I both got paychecks that said Oilers Nation Limited for several years. So
that's right.
They are by default our favorite non-Flames team for financial reasons, if no other. But the Edmonton Oilers are in town Saturday night, last Saturday night game for the Flames of the season, the last Hockey Night in Canada for the Flames of the season, and they're gonna close it out with a game. The Edmonton Oilers are fighting for first place in the Pacific Division. So if you're the Flames, your motivation now, outside of just sheer spite, is making sure the Edmonton Oilers get a bad first round matchup, because I believe the first place team in the Pacific would face a wild card team. I am stalling so I can pull up the standings, because I do not remember the standings off the top of my head. But it's voting time, so I should probably start figuring out which teams are good. So the Pacific Division is right now the second best division. So they would face the stronger of the two wildcard teams, which is at this point to be Nashville. You fall, you fall into battling Vegas in the first round if you're Edmonton. So it's basically between at this point, it's not really, the Oilers have two games in hand on the Vancouver Canucks. They're 7 points back of Kent's beloved Vancouver Canucks. And if the Oilers want to try to reel them in, they're going to have to win off a bunch of games and get some help. Coincidentally, the Flames also play the Canucks next week. If you're the Oilers and you really, really want to win your division, you basically have to beat Calgary, a non-playoff team, on your docket. And if you're the Flames and you just want to, you know, just thumb your noses at those guys to the north with their new building and their playoffs and their Wayne Gretzky statue and whatnots.
I think it'll be an easy overall picks.
I think it'll be an easy game for them to get up for. And I think if you're someone that's looked at, you know, the Flames had, I would say, Kent, a great deal of both precision and emotion in their game against Los Angeles on Saturday. I would also say that the Edmonton Oilers are a team that you need both those things in order to beat them. I was in attendance in that city up north. Somehow they let me in to watch the Flames beat the Oilers at home in February. And I suspect the Flames to be extremely motivated to do so again in their own building. And I think if you're the Flames and you're, you know, if you're thinking, okay, when am I getting on a plane to Mexico? You have probably two dates marked in your calendar, the date of your flight to Mexico and probably Saturday night, because it might be the last game of the season that really means something to this group. As much as every game means something to this group, but I think in terms of like the core of their hearts and souls, I think it's one of those games they're going to be very much trying to play spoiler. And
yeah, these are the games that are fun when you're rebuilding and stuff, right? Like if you lose, it doesn't matter. I mean, it benefits you technically, but if you win, it's a really good gut punch to that rival. You're playing spoilers. So yeah, I'm sure the Flames will come out, especially on a Saturday night, you know, hockey night in Canada. It'd be funny to see them, you know, pull out a win.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And funny, but also not entirely out of the realm of possibility or the, it would not be out of the realm of expectation, because we've seen this group do those kind of things in the last 2 years. After the Flames play the Edmonton Oilers, they're heading on the road. And they're heading to three buildings on the West Coast on Saturday or on Tuesday, the 9th. Yeah. They're playing the San Jose Sharks in San Jose. If I was a betting man, I would suggest that Bay Area product Dustin Wolf will be playing in that game, because I don't know, they tend to play guys in their hometowns, yeah. And why not, right? Then they have a back to back. They play the Los Angeles Kings on Thursday evening in Los Angeles at whatever their building is called now. And then they play the Anaheim Ducks at the Honda Center on Friday night. As a warning, all these games are late games. I believe the San Jose game is an 8:30 start mountain. The LA game is an 8:30 start mountain. And the Anaheim game is an 8 p.m. start mountain on a Friday night. So if you find a fun place to watch the games, we'll be doing afterburners after all these ones. I've been told I'm on for at least two of them. So when in doubt, FlamesNation.ca will have a recap for you, and Afterburner will be here to hold your hand and explain to you what happened, and also make Muppets references that are at least 10 years out of date. And then after that, they got some games left, but that's the bulk of them. That's the next four out of seven, and then four out of eight.
Cruise to the finish line. Yeah,
next four out of seven. Why not? So that'll do it for our friends at Village Honda. The road ahead. Again, that's brought to you by Village Honda, he says as he tries to find his ad reads. I close too many things on my internet.
You just need big placards or cards right in front of you.
Yeah, I need to have a better system for this. Village Honda, Kent. Village Honda has a huge selection of used vehicles, all makes, all models for all budgets, with over 70 units on site and access to over 400 more in their dealer group. Make Village Honda your one-stop automotive destination in Calgary. They are definitely worth the trip. Village Honda is located in the North Hill, the Northwest Auto Mall, and online at villagehonda.com. Now, Kent, here's my favorite part of the show, the mailbag. Our burning question. I don't know. We got to find a if you're someone
should sponsor this.
Yeah, the mailbag. Village Honda sponsors the mailbag segment on flamestation.ca, and we love them for it. We love Village Honda for all the support they give us. As of right now, this fun, unnamed, unsponsored segment where we answer your listener and reader questions from the chat is unsponsored. So if you
call burning questions, how about that?
Burning, we'll call it Burning Questions because I'm pretty sure someone else used that and it's a great name. So we're stealing it. Fire away with your questions while you're putting in your questions and bribing Jack to give us your questions. Make sure you like, subscribe, and share. The more, I believe we're creeping up on 7,500 subscriptions. Thank you for joining us. It's subscriptions are a way to tell people how cool we are, but also the more likes and subscribes and whatnot we get, the easier it is for people to find our content. And the easier it is for people to find the content, the easier it is for us to do more of it. So we really appreciate everyone's support in these kind of things, especially Jack, because behind the scenes, Jack is doing 17,000 things because he's actually four people. He wishes he was four people. He's just one very busy person. All right. What have we got for questions? Ooh. All right. This is from Mickey O. Kent, Sam Morton gets a call up for a game in NHL check?
We'll see if he keeps scoring in the AHL, maybe.
I'll throw a flag on this.
Okay.
Yes, but not till next year, because his contract doesn't start till next year.
Oh, that's right.
Yep. He's been really good though. I was talking to some folks who've seen a lot of Sam Morton. I watch every Wranglers game, but I see every Wranglers game usually on video because I'm doing three other things. He's really good. I really like Sam Morton. Kent, I don't know how much Wranglers you've been watching this year, but
just the highlights.
He's one of those guys that you know how. We've seen this, you know, when I'm going to pick on some kids from yesteryear. Remember when like Kenny Agostino and Ben Hanowski showed up and they were trying real hard, but they just did not quite slot in to the NHL group because they're coming from a college system and you slot in and it's just, you know, it's hard to learn how to play in the NHL that quickly. It's really tough to learn how to play in the AHL quickly too, especially if you're coming off of a very specific college system. The best thing I can say about Sam Morton is he slotted in really, really easily. He's smart. He plays the position really well. He has some Yuri Hudler in him in that you don't notice him for periods at a time, and then he makes two or three really smart plays, and you go, "Who the hell is that 45 guy? That's really good." So I think he's ineligible to play in the NHL this year, but he is doing a great job at a position that the Flames don't have a lot of organizational depth in. So I would be willing to suggest that we're going to see quite a bit of him in Penticton in the preseason. And then who knows, but he's doing a great job selling himself. All right. From Monty Ray. I'm going to say just Monty. Hey guys, what's Hanzik's upside of the NHL? Can he be a top line player?
Well, let's say we don't know that yet. He's taken a step back this year in an injury-plagued sort of D+1 season, which is bad. That's usually a red flag. But at 19, he still has a long way to go. I don't think we got to see him in pro, and I don't think he's even going to see that for another year at least. So he's got NHL size, and I'm sure he's got NHL hands, but there's still a lot of development that needs to happen before we can say what he's going to be at the NHL level at this point.
Yeah, he's had just some atrocious luck. I think we saw Connor Zeri in his D plus 1 year have some atrocious luck. I think he had an injury that shortened his D plus 1 year. His first year pro, he broke his ankle blocking a shot in a meaningless preseason yeah. game. It was not even a preseason game; it was a rookie camp game against the Oilers, and he just blocked a shot with the wrong angle, and then he was out till Christmas. And you know, sometimes these things happen. So I think the nice thing with Hanzik is this is a slide year of his deal. He's 19. He'll be 20 next year. So his deal slides this year. It slides next year if he plays the AHL or in. I think it slides also it slides unless he plays 10 games in the NHL next year. So they have a lot of flexibility with him. And I think he's the kind of guy that, you know, I don't know exactly what the plan for him will be because I think they need to sort of see where he's at because he's missed so much hockey this year that you're basically just going, okay, this year's kind of a wash. He hasn't had a great offensive season. He's been outscored on a points per game basis and in general by teammate Jaden Lipinski, who I wrote in the prospect update this week. I don't think we're talking enough about how great Jaden Lipinski is. He's been a great surprise for the Flames almost as much as I think they've been a little bit disappointed with the bad luck and output that they've gotten from Hanzik. I think Lipinski's been the exact opposite of that. But I think you're also thinking to yourself, okay, Hanzik, hopefully he has a good playoffs. He goes to the Wranglers when he's done, gets some reps in with the dev team, then has a good summer, and then comes in and is motivated because I think he's probably going to be looking to prove something. And the fact is he can play in the dub as an overager, or he could play in the AHL, and his contract, I believe, slides either way. So if the idea is you think he needs reps, it's just a matter of what kind of reps and against who. So I know we saw Michael Ferland go back for an overage year in junior. Parker Bell this year went back for an overage year in junior. The tendency is high-end prospects generally don't do it, but it's not unheard of, especially in unique situations like Hanzik. So for him, I still think there's a lot of upside there because of his size, because of his intangibles, because there's a lot of things he could do. But the problem is, he hasn't really had a chance to really scratch away that potential yet because he's missed so much time.
Yeah, I think they're going to be looking for a dominant season from him next year. That's going to be, does he take that step that he didn't take this year, next year, and then some? And then we can start seeing if there's top six upside or not.
What else we got? Mitchell Green. I love watching Kuz play, but what would a fair dollar in turn be for the Flames to re-sign him? In your eyes, we need to have exciting skill players to watch while we go through our retool. That's a good question.
Yeah,
Ken, what do you got?
It is. I wouldn't resign him myself, but I'm being extremely pragmatic about things just because at his age, I don't think he slots into a contention window for the Flames. And if someone comes along and offers you, a good package or at least a good pick, you probably do that. Now, if they don't, maybe it's a different conversation. But, I do agree. Kuzmenko's been one of the reasons to watch the team over the last three or four games. I mean, the other thing is to remember that he may not do this over 40 games or 60 games. He's notoriously sort of inconsistent, which is why he's no longer a Vancouver Canuck. But if he continues to do this, then next trade deadline, the discussion is, do we keep this guy for X amount? Would it be 3, 4, 5 years at some number, or what are we getting? What are we being offered for him?
Yeah, I really like the player. He's fun to watch in the offensive zone. He is a non-entity in the defensive zone. He's okay in the neutral zone. And I think that's the big challenge because, if you're, right. if you're bringing some kids along, like say ideally next year, the year after, you want to be seeing regular roles for your Pelches and your Coronados and your Zaris and your Pospisils and your Hanziks. And, potentially you're going to get somebody good in the first round this year. If it's a forward, you want to have the ability to slot them in and mentor them. If Sam Morton keeps playing like this, or maybe if he takes another step over the summer, like you want to give yourself a lot of flexibility. And I think that the big challenge with Kuzmenko is whatever line he's on, you need to give them a steady diet of offensive zone time and offensive zone faceoff starts and a lot of power play time for him to be really useful because, he's, what was I'm going to pick on James Neal because I love doing it. The problem with James Neal is if James Neal wasn't scoring, he wasn't helping you in any way. And so that's what led to the Milan Lucic trade, because Lucic wasn't a guy that needed to be getting offensive minutes to be effective. Granted, you know, you're basically admitting you're not going to be getting any production out of that cap hit, but, you know, it's a question of how do you want to use these guys? And, you know, you're going to have a lot of guys that need that sheltering over the next couple of years, especially young wingers. And the more time you have for Kuzmenko, the tougher it is to bring those guys along. So I agree with the premise that, man, Kuzmenko's fun. And Kuzmenko's fun, and maybe you can flip him. But if you don't flip him, like I think he's one of those guys that if you don't get anything for him and he just walks in the offseason, he was someone who facilitated you being able to make the trade you made with the Canucks. And you get Brustovich, you get two picks, you get whatever Yoni Yermo ends up being, and they're going to have Yoni Yermo under team control for five years. He's 20, 21 or 22. So until he's 27. So you get 5 years to figure out Yermo, and then you get a ton of runway on the other three assets. And if eating, you know, Kuzmenko's salary and letting him walk in a year is the grenade you have to jump on, if that's the worst case scenario, you probably look at the balance of the assets you get and go, yeah, okay, that's probably worth it. But, you know, the upside is if he turns into something consistent, maybe you keep him. And if he doesn't, maybe you flip him. And honestly, even if he turns into something a bit more consistent, maybe, you know, you probably still have a price tag in mind for him that if someone comes to you and says, hey, my team's going to the playoffs and our power play is terrible, we'll give you a second or a third or something for Kuzmenko. There's going to be teams that need to score goals. And if Kuzmenko has built a reputation as a guy that can do that, you're going to be able to flip him and get something back for him.
Well, there's also that inherent risk with a player like this, where if he asks for something, you know, 5 years long, there's a lot of risk that he falls off a cliff at some point. Just, you know, you brought up James Neal. Like, yeah, once that guy loses a step or he can't score anymore, it's over. Like, he's not going to be anything else for you.
Not to tell tales out of school. So I assume you watched Craig Conroy's post-trade deadline press conference. In that, he mentioned that, you know, the question sort of asked was like, oh, you know, you had to trade all the guys, huh? And he was like, yeah, he tried to resign all of them. And I think Craig Conroy did have conversations with all the UFAs dating back to when he took the job in May. And they basically laid out like, here's kind of what we're thinking. And my understanding was they were pretty clear that their priorities were figuring out Lindholm, Hanifin, and Backlund first, because those are the guys that would eat up the most money. And then, you know, there's no point in having a lengthy contract conversation with other guys unless you know what you can pay them. And so, you know, that was basically how it went. And a lot of the guys, when they had the early sort of like, what's the shape of this kind of conversations, a lot of the guys they talked to, my understanding is Toffoli and Zadorov at least, had very lengthy, you know, they wanted long-term deals, which, yeah, if you like where you are, you know, you should, you know, if you like the team that you're at, you should be asking for a long-term deal, because that's the best way to get your bag and get security. But the Flames had dollar amounts and term amounts that they were very hesitant to go past for guys over the age of 30. And that was communicated. And that's what I think facilitated a lot of this movement, because, you know, they did not balk or buckle when the temptation of, oh, you know, we could sign these guys. It wasn't, let's sign these guys no matter what, throwing good money after bad. It was, they have a dollar amount in mind and a term amount in mind. And if it doesn't quite jive, cool, we can go our separate ways. No harm, no foul. And I think that's how they approached it. And I think that'll frame a lot of how they deal with some of these other guys. You know, they have Kuzmenko coming up in a year. They have Mangiapane coming up in a year. Some other guys coming up in the near future. I think that's going to frame a lot of how they do things. And, you know, I think that's probably the right way to do business when you're in this kind of situation where you have a few guys that you're like, these are our guys that we're willing to pay market value for a long, long time. And then there's other guys that, you know, you see different ways and you don't want to throw tons of money at. And, you know, to be honest, they're kind of hemmed in by some of the contracts they do have. So being prudent and pragmatic in other areas is probably the right way to go, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Miramanov, Daniil Miramanov, Wade asks.
I like him. Yeah. He's pretty good.
Are you surprised? Because a lot of us, I had heard interesting things about him, but the guy's like, he's got such a weird background. Like, it's a strange resume. Undrafted, signed as UFA, played in Europe, played in the Q, played in the ECHL. The ECHL used to be Siberia. No one used to come back from the ECHL.
But he is offensively gifted. There's some tools there. He's big and sort of clunky. He's certainly not a graceful player, but he gets the job done. He looks like an NHLer. He's got pretty good underlying numbers so far. So I have some time for that for him. That's a good little ad.
I'm just really curious. Do you see a future for him here? Because I know like he's got the contract for a couple of years after this at like dirt cheap. I think he's 125. And
yeah,
I think the limit right now to bury in the AHL is 1.15. So if he just falls off a cliff and don't work out, 100 grand cap penalty, no harm, no foul. But there's a potential that, you know, there's something here. And in a year, do you start really looking at, is this a guy that you can keep around?
I don't think you have to make any plans really at this point. You can just keep playing him. There's no downside to like putting him in the lineup, especially with the way he's playing. And you just see where it goes, right? Because, you know, the future is a little uncertain. We know we're in a transitionary phase in this market. So keep playing the guy and see if he gets better. See what you got. Just keep going with it, right?
You brought up the other Russian, Ochuk. Ochuk, whatever the hell his name is. Nikita O, let's say.
28.
Yeah. The new Lindholm, 28. You mentioned it. So I was thinking about this, and I'm really curious what you think about this. I don't know if them having too many defensemen is a blessing or a curse, because like for next year, I assume that Shillington re-ups at a very similar rate that he's getting now. And so your top three is probably Shillington, Uyghur, Anderson in some configuration, and then you have a lot of question marks. But part of me is thinking, because you have so many question marks, especially like you don't know what Hunter Bustavich is going to be as a first-year pro, you don't know what Poirier is going to be coming off a good summer, you don't know, you know, Solovyov and Kuznetsov having gotten the taste of the NHL a bit, Grushnikov with a full summer with this group. They could have so many guys that they need to give looks at in preseason. And it could be a mess, or it could be like arguably the most competitive defensive training camp we've had here in like 20 years.
That's why I was so surprised when they acquired Ochuk when it happened, because I was like, you've got so many bodies in the same sort of 7 to 13 sort of range in the depth chart, right? So you just named all of them. You didn't even name Miramanov. He's another body in there. So it's like, how are you going to play all these guys? And maybe they won't have to. Pahal, are they going to keep around? Hanley, are they going to keep around? I mean, there is a lot of guys.
Pahal's under contract next year at league minimum. So he's coming back.
So, yes, there's a lot of guys to look at.
Remember, I vividly remember having this conversation with someone in hockey ops where they had, I think at some point, four guys under contract on the blue line for next season. And then they have like 12. And it just seemed to happen in a 3-week period where if there was a defenseman on waivers or a Russian defenseman or someone, is there maybe their plan for next season is just, you know, they're going to try to win every game 1-0 by having Dustin Wolf and then four defensemen and then one guy playing the puck in front of them.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work out, but I guess we'll see.
I think we got time for a couple more questions. Come on. You remember Brent Sutter running that power play with five defensemen. I want to see that for real. Just a regular shift.
No.
Randy wants to know, when do you strip the C from Backlund?
Never. Just leave him alone. When he retires? When he retires, yeah. It's really not up to us, right? It's that the organization and those players know who the captain should be, and I always kind of just leave it to them.
Yeah.
And I've always liked the player too, right? So consummate pro.
You almost said love to
this organization, right?
Yeah. It blooms off the rose because Kent could have said love and he said like. So, I mean, problems are mounting. yeah, I have nothing new to say about Backlund. I've written a lot about Backlund over years, as have you. He's really good. He is what he is. He's going to be around for a while. You know, the season hasn't gone the way I think anyone really wanted to, and especially like this has been a weird year. It's been a weird couple of years for that group, and I think you have Backlund to sort of be sort of a paragon of normalcy. So I think as long as Backlund wants to be a Calgary Flame, he's going to be a Calgary Flame wearing the C. I think the hope internally is that he wears the C, leads them through this whole process, and then when the new building opens, they have a team worthy of trying to get Michael Backlund some kind of hardware. That would be a very nice end to his career. I don't know if that works out that way, but that's why we cover sports, because it's, you know, we want to be fancy and romantic and fun. So yeah, we'll see. But I think that's probably the hope, and I think that's probably what was sold to him. And we'll see how that works out. But until Michael Backlund doesn't want to wear any C's, he's going to be wearing both of them. Phil, Flames going to offer Shannon.
So maybe. You never know.
So I'm going to say no, but because they did it once and it almost turned out terribly for everybody involved. Yeah. I wrote really way too much about it in this book over my shoulder. that was such a weird year. I have all their picks. You can only offer sheet using your own draft picks, and they have, I believe, all their own picks this year, depending on the conditions from all the various trades they're in. They at least have their own first, second, and I think third this year. They have, I think, the same for the next couple of years. So they always could. I mean, you know, I think it's more of a philosophical impediment more than a assets impediment. Before, they couldn't do it because they trade all their picks away, and so they couldn't risk it. Now they have all kinds of picks and all kind of cap space. But I also would argue, Kent, that like when was the last time we actually saw a team have a player change teams because of an offer sheet? Because I can't remember.
Okay,
I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, the Flames aren't a player away either. Like they need to be hoarding future assets because they're in severe deficit. So you're not going to get a Byfield, and if you get him for $8 million or whatever, it's, you know, Byfield's a really, really good player, but he doesn't turn this around. And now you've got a very expensive contract. You put more futures out for present wins, which that's not going to cut it for this team. So I hope they don't do it because it's too early.
Yeah, I think more likely than not, if they explore anything like that, it's more of a hockey trade thing where it's like, hey, they got too many wingers, and every Russian defenseman in the National Hockey League and parts of Europe. Maybe they can swing a deal where a team that's in cap trouble, they give the Flames an overpaid second or third line center in exchange for a pick and something else. I think we could see something like that happening. And, you know, I'll pick on Edmonton because it's fun to do. A lot of these teams have already spent their cap increases. If you're a contender, you're already spending to the cap, and you probably already have given out your cap. You know, I think the cap's going up to 87.5 or 87.7. I forget if they're doing it to the every 0.5 or to they just round up. Either way, it's going up by 4 point something, but 4 point something ain't very much when you're paying every second and third line or $4.5 million. So a lot of these teams have already spent it or don't want to spend it and want to have that cap space to add in season. So yeah, I don't see it. It'd be funny.
I would
it'd
say, kind of fun. Yeah. If
I love
the
Flames
are getting an overpriced player, I hope they're getting picks back. I hope they're weaponizing their cap space, because if someone needs to dump somebody and the Flames need a third line guy anyways, yeah, sure. Yeah, but get the picks back. Don't spend picks on that.
Yeah, it's going to be – I think it's going to be one of those situations. But, you know, you never know. I've talked about this here, there, and everywhere about why I'm kind of jacked for the next couple of years. Like we've been kind of in this market, and I think Kent, you can speak to this too. Since like 2002, 2003, we've sort of been, this team has been built in the image of Daryl Sutter and what Daryl Sutter thought hockey should be and could be and wanted to be. And so as a result, you know, both he and Jay Feaster and Brad Tree Living were sort of singing off the same song sheet, playing off the same playbook. And the teams all kind of look the same to various degrees, except with some stylistic differences. I have no idea what the hell Craig Conroy thinks a hockey team should look like. I don't think anyone does. And That's kind of the cool thing. Like, it's going to be like we're almost in uncharted waters, because have we ever
in last slate almost, right?
In the time since you've been watching this hockey club, have we ever had a year where, you know, I made a joke to a scout the other day that this year has sort of been, you know, like trying to fly a plane while as you're flying, pieces of your plane are sort of being removed and replaced. Like, it's been a weird year, and it's honestly a minor miracle that it took till game 75 for them to get eliminated, because, you know, by all rights, any other team, the wheels would have fallen off very early. But, you know.
Yeah, well, it's totally fresh, right? It's they've gotten rid of, you know, most of the prior regime to some degree, aside from Huberto.
Almost all of it.
Like now this new regime and Conroy can really put a signature together. What is it you think? Well, you know, what style of team are you going to go for? What are you going to build from the ground up? How are you going to do it? Like, this is, you know, fresh ground here. What are you going to do?
Yeah. And if the idea is that when the puck drops on October 10th, 2027 to open the, whatever the hell it's called, it'll be like Scotiabank Place or Center or something or other. I think it'll have a corporate name with the word place or arena or structure or whatever the hell it is after it. But when that building opens in October 2027 and the puck drops, what does the team look like? Like, idea is you're working backwards from have something really cool and exciting on the ice in 2027, working backwards, what does that look like? We haven't seen that before.
A new Iginla on the team. We'll see, right?
Joe Iginla is also eligible for the draft between here and there.
I know.
So you could collect all the Iginlas. You could see what Jade Iginla wants to do, see if she wants to, you know, you could play. I don't know. She could run hockey ops. I don't care.
That's
Jade
right.
Iginla can do whatever the hell she wants. But, yeah, this is going to be a pretty exciting time. And we're in uncharted waters, and hopefully it's weird and fun. Because, Kent, what do we want? We just want to cover weird and fun. We've covered enough stuff that we kind of knew what was going to happen. So I think, Jack, do we have any more questions, or are we all out? I think we're going to go one more. And this is the best question we have.
I can't answer that. It's up to you guys.
Okay, Kent, we need to get you next time. We have to do an in-studio show or get you into one of the events we're doing in town, because I feel I can't fully judge this because I've seen Tommy Wilden's hair in person and it's magnificent, but I've seen it from all angles. And I feel it's unfair to compare your majestic, you know, your mane with his without having the same level of information.
All right. Well, we'll set that up at some point.
We'll do that. Excellent. Well, guys, I think that is all she wrote for this edition of Afterburner. As always, thank you for joining us. Please make sure you like and subscribe like this video, subscribe to the channel, and tell all your friends, because, again, we're doing these for all the remaining games. And once the puck drops in September for preseason, I think we're doing these. We're definitely doing these for regular season. We'll see if they twist our arm and make us do these for preseason. But, you know, it's a good time to touch base with everybody, see how you're doing, and make sure everybody stays sane as we hit the short strokes of the 23-24 season, the now officially playoffless season. But that'll do it for us. For Kent, I'm Pike. Thank you very much for joining us. And the boys will be back Friday morning with Burn Burner. And you'll be, I forget who's doing After Burner on Saturday night, but we will have one, and it will be hopefully very fun. Thanks for joining us.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.